Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we celebrate the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's go to our checklist and begin our readings. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart wide open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you now free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to proceed forward and engage in the Word of God in preparation for this Sunday's readings. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. And here it is. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath, that we may display the wheat? We will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the lowly for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuse of the wheat we will sell. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Amos today, my friends, we see a focus on the needy and the poor. You who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. And so we acknowledge the fact that there are people out there who are taking advantage of other people who are vulnerable. And those people could be the homeless, the sick, the elderly, the people who live in poverty, those who are poor. And we see a variety of different ways that this is done in our first reading here from the book of Amos. And in today's culture, we look at the price of gasoline, the price of food, the price of tuition, sending our kids to schools. Everything is on the increase to make more money, taking advantage of the people here in America. And we see that often in other places where there is commission sales, in the purchase of a car, a home, and other things that are for sale. We see people taking advantage of today in identity theft, credit card scams. The telephone is always ringing, and people are looking to take advantage of those who are vulnerable. What can you and I do, my friends, to put a stop to these kinds of things? Through education and motivation, we can inspire Congress to make laws against the people who are taking advantage of other people. What can we do in our own circles? Through education, once again, at the dinner table, in schools, to make sure that people are aware of the scams that sometimes are out there, to, as the book of Amos says, to trample on the needy, the people who need food and shelter and clothing, and to destroy the poor of the land, those people who truly live in poverty. What can we do to help? I want you to think about that, because today we see tremendous evidence of those kinds of things being done. And it's time that we do even more from a congressional standpoint, senatorial standpoint, presidential standpoint, to make a difference, to make an impact on inflation, to reduce it so that people are not truly in a difficult spot day in and day out. And I will do my part, my friends, here at Holy Spirit Radio, and I entrust that you will do your part as well. Let's go to our second reading today from 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 8. And here it is, from the mouth of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everything to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth. I am not lying. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of 1 Timothy, St. Paul delivers a great message once again. As the frontline evangelist, St. Paul tells us, first of all, he's asking for supplications, which is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. He's asking for prayers, for petitions, and even thanksgivings be offered for everything, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. What is it that you want? What is it that you are praying for that God can give to you, deliver to you, bring to you out of love for you? What is it that you would like to ask for in prayer? Begging on your knees. Could it be that you have a loved one who is very ill and you're praying for the healing and the illness to go away? You're praying for a miracle for your children. Are you the mother or father of an autistic child, a Down syndrome child? Are you in a position where you are homeless, living in a shelter? God's calling us through St. Paul to pray in a way like never before, with supplications, prayers, and petitions. Authentic Christianity, to truly open our hearts and minds and pour out our hearts to God in prayer and ask Him in a loving way, in a way that we've never entered into before, in a way that is recognized by God as being important. And so I encourage you at this moment to raise the standard in your life, in my life, in how we offer prayers and petitions to God. Or do we just do it in a way that we take God for granted? Or are we allocating private time for God in a reverent manner? Think about it, my friends. Take an objective look at how you and I pray and ask God for what it is that we want. How are we doing that? Is it taking God for granted? Are we going to God only when we need something? Or is He our best friend, where we're engaged in conversation with Him daily, through prayer, through supplications, through petitions, through thanksgiving, thanking God for the blessings He has bestowed on us in our lives? And it's powerful. We need to look at ourselves both in the church and outside the church. Are we reverent towards God, or are we irreverent? Are we quiet, peaceful, polite, considerate, both inside the church and outside the church? God calls us through St. Paul once again to lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. So He wants us to be dignified. He wants us to uphold the dignity that He calls us to as good men and good women, as husbands and fathers, as wives and mothers, as parents, as children. He calls us to a higher standard in the area of dignity. And He also calls us to a life of devotion, to worship God and not material things or other people. God calls us to love Him with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls, and all our strength. He calls us to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So He calls us to a life of devotion, which means to be devoted, to be committed, and to not have a lack of commitment or a lack of devotion, a lack of spiritual, praise and worship for the God who brought us into the world, who has given us our family, our faith, our children, our home, our work, our good health, our ability to walk and talk and to hear. Are we devoted to God Himself, or are we devoted to other things outside of God and His territory? Devoted to things that have nothing to do with God. Think about it. Are we devoted to God or not? Only you can ask and answer that question and answer. Only you, my friends, because God knows our hearts and our minds. And He said, "Do not measure a man by his appearance or lofty stature, because I have already rejected that man. Not as man sees does God see, because man looks at the heart, man looks at the appearance, but God looks into the heart of a man." And that's the zone we want to be in, coming from 1 Samuel. And devotion and dignity, peace and quiet, tranquility in life are the goals. How is your life today? How's it going? Is there peace and serenity? Or do we have chaos, anxiety, nervousness, depression? Do we have, again, peace and serenity? That is one of the great goals in life, to live in peace and serenity every day, every week, every month. And we know in life things will occur to steal our peace, to take our peace, and to put us into an unpeaceful state, a state where we have, you know, a difficult situation temporarily upon us. But God will bring us back to that peace. And life is just filled with events that come up from time to time to steal that peace. And it's up to you and I to bring the peace to other people. If I have peace in my heart, in my mind, when I visit other people, I can bring them that peace. But if I don't have peace, if I have fear, anxiety, depression, nervousness, when I visit other people, family or friends, co-workers, I deliver those things versus the peace. Our Blessed Mother says to pray for peace in your own heart. And when you have that peace, you can bring it to other people and deliver it into their hearts and minds. And it's powerful. And St. Paul tells us, I wish then in every place men should pray with lifting up their holy hands without anger or argument. I'm going to say it again. I wish, St. Paul wishes, in every place throughout the world, men should pray lifting up holy hands, clean hands, without argument or anger. So, as a man, we acknowledge that the Lord says in the book of Psalms, the steps of a good man is in order by the Lord. And St. Paul wants us to lift up holy hands, clean hands, unstained by the world. Hard to do because the world impacts us every day. Other people, other situations, all kinds of events that take place for decades. But nevertheless, we are called to, you know, holy hands. And you and I, my friends, have more work to do so that we can lift up holy hands without anger or argument. You notice St. Paul brings up anger and an argument. He knows men and he knows people, being a man himself. And anger is a problem that a lot of people have to deal with through an anger management class. And we teach that in the WINGS program, as we have been doing for more than 25 years. And you know, we're not born angry. What happens is we are going through life and something has impacted us in a negative way. It's a problem that's come up and it's not been solved. And now we're living in frustration every day with this problem. And the frustration turns into anger. And we're short-fused, short-tempered. So if we become problem solvers and move forward each day with less and less burdens to carry on our shoulders, no problems because I've solved them today. Tomorrow I go into a new day without the same problem. Conversely, if I don't solve my problems, I carry them into tomorrow or next week, even next year. So you and I have to be problem solvers. And God wants us to go through life in a peaceful state, not an angry state. Like we said before, if I have peace, I can deliver peace into the hearts of other people. But if I have anger, I can shift that anger towards other people very quickly. The goal is to diffuse that anger by solving problems and moving forward one day at a time without argument or anger, we too can live with devotion and dignity in a quiet and tranquil life. Let's go to our gospel reading. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. And here it is. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do, now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that, when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors, one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and Mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, we have a great message about trust and honesty. And the Word says that the person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. I had a woman once in the WINGS program, our Inmate Reentry and Recovery program, who shared with me in a seminar that she was an accountant. And there were 15 people there. And I said, "You're an accountant." I said, "That's fabulous. Fantastic." She says, "Yes, I have a degree in accounting." I said, "Well, tell me, how did you get into the ISP program, a pre-release program for nonviolent offenders?" She said, "I was an accountant for a corporation and I embezzled $70,000. And once again, the person who is trustworthy in small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. And that woman lost the ability to be an accountant in the state of New Jersey. And she served 4 years in prison in the state. My question to you and I today: are you a trustworthy individual in small matters? Can God trust you with larger things, larger areas of responsibility? Or are you and I dishonest? Are we clean? Are we going forward and as trustworthy individuals, can we be trusted with larger areas of responsibility? And the Lord goes on to say, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's a great message here, my friends, once again, because as human beings, we have areas of vulnerability, areas of weakness that we have to be careful with. We have to know how to overcome these areas. And if we are honest and sincere and respectful and accountable in word and action, reliable and dependable, then we are trustworthy, both in small matters and maybe in large matters as well. And there's all kinds of examples that we can talk about. But having worked in prison for more than 25 years, there are many, many individuals that I have found through the Wings program who have shared with me their passions. And a lot of them revealed are circled around money and power and material goods, a lifestyle. And so we have to be careful with what it is we put out there as something we're shooting for, something we're striving for, because we can get into a position where it becomes more important than God. God calls us, once again, to be trustworthy, to be honest, to be loyal. God calls us to serve Him and not other people. He truly is testing us time after time after time. So I pose the question to you in an objective way. Are you and I trustworthy? Are we consistent? Do we have zeal and enthusiasm, great passion for the right things and not the wrong things? Do we have, you know, a circle of people around us who are helping to build us up to be more trustworthy? Or are we involved with criminal activity, illegal activity? Okay, and there's all kinds of ways that that is done in corporate America, in government, and in people's homes. This week, I challenge you, my friends, to raise the standard and to be the best person that you can be by being the most honest, the most sincere, and the most respectful in reverencing our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day, and God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.